Well, greetings, church family. Praise the Lord on this wonderful day. In fact, we will shout Hosanna to the King of Kings. As we were contemplating Palm Sunday this April the 5th, I couldn't help but remember the old hymn, All Glory, Laud and Honor. I love that first verse. It just says, All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name comest, the King and Blessed One. All glory, laud, and honor, a wonderful, wonderful hymn for this Palm Sunday. Let's begin. But what better way to begin than what we would normally shout on Palm Sunday? Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. It's been a long Lenten season. We've been preparing our hearts through repentance, self-sacrifice. We've had a lot on our mind with this pandemic and coronavirus. But today we set all the concerns and anxiousness aside, because today it's not just us, it's the whole church. We're celebrating that Paschal mystery, that you would send your son Jesus to us, to die for us and to be our replacement. We deserved punishment. We couldn't pay that price. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you would send your son to pay that price for us. So today on this Palm Sunday, as we remember Jesus entering into Jerusalem, he is truly welcomed as King and as Lord. So today we greet him as our King. Though we know his crown was a crown of thorns, and his throne was a cross. So Father, we shout Hosanna as we learn today the intricate details of this event we call Palm Sunday. Thank you for the redemption of sinful human beings like us who desperately need a Savior. You sent him, and he is Jesus, your Son. So come, Holy Spirit, and help us as we're gathering, not only live, but perhaps later today when we watch the video or throughout the week. We thank you, and we give you praise. We thank you for all the ways that we can use this stay-at-home downtime to spend more time in prayer, to go over the various names in our bulletin. We pray for those, especially in our care facilities, fill their room with your presence and love, that they will not feel lonely or abandoned in any way. Bring a special bond between them and their caregivers and doctors. Be with the chaplains who attend to their needs and pray with them. Help us to reach out and by phone or by whatever means that we can touch their life. Be with our leadership. What an important task they have on their shoulders. What a burden leading us through these days of crisis. We lift up our President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. We pray for our governor, Tim Walz. We pray for those that lead our communities, for Chris Etzler and Staples and Al Yoder and Motley. Those who lead our church, our bishop, Linda Adams, our conference superintendent, Mike Hopper. For our own pastor, Pastor Jim, who leads us and gives us direction. And for our sister churches around northern Minnesota, we pray for Pastor Rick in Alexandria and Pastor Jack up in Henriette, and of our brothers across the border in Fargo, Jeff and Pradeep. So we just thank you that through technology and throughout the world, we can all meet together on this special day. Help us, Lord Jesus, and thank you for working out this technology issue that we can again join. Maybe not on the exact time we had hoped, but thank you, thank you, thank you for this day together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for your patience as we worked through this technology. I'm also working from home, if you haven't noticed. A little front porch church today. The message is entitled The Details of Palm Sunday, and I want to walk us through from start to finish, from the time they got ready to the time that parade actually happened in Jerusalem. So if you will join me, I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is Matthew 21, and it's the first 11 verses, verses 1 to 11, the triumphal entry. And I'm going to read from the New King James. It just says, "Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" As I was thinking about Palm Sunday and the shouting of Hosanna, the first thing that came to mind was just our own country, thinking of the presidency. We've had a record of 44 individuals who have taken that oath of office to be inaugurated as president of the United States. And Palm Sunday is quite similar to our inauguration, because what we're doing today is recognizing that Christ's entry into Jerusalem is much like inauguration. Here, Jesus is fulfilling prophecy and is being unveiled as King and Messiah, because that's kind of what the word inauguration means, an unveiling. So Jesus, here he is, entering through the Eastern Gate as if to say, my arrival is signifying that the old covenant of Moses has finally reached its conclusion. And the new covenant that will be established in my blood, my own blood, is now at hand. So as we remember this triumphant entry of Jesus, as Matthew foretold, that was Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. So here, right in front of everyone's eyes, in the mayhem and excitement of the festivities leading up to Passover, they're all in town celebrating this great event. And here comes this man named Jesus riding on a donkey right down the middle of all these festivities. Little did they know, prophecy in their sight is being fulfilled. And that's good news for us, because up until this point in time, Jesus tried to keep his identity from being revealed. He had only offered just a little glimpse into who he truly was while he was amongst people. Do you know that there was 13 different references just in the Gospels where Jesus sternly warned everyone, his disciples, but also those people he just healed? He said, don't tell anybody. Or he would say, do not tell anyone about me. He wanted to keep this low key. His time had not come. It wasn't his time. He even told his mother that in his first miracle, my time is not yet at hand. So up until this point, Jesus is trying to keep it a secret, but here it is, Palm Sunday, for us at least. And the moment is here. Jesus is saying, now it's time. No need to hold back any further. The truth is now revealed. Prophecy is fulfilled. Yes, Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah and our true King. So that's why we shout for joy and celebrate Christ as the King, because he enters into our personal Jerusalem, our hearts, we would say, because he saves us from our sins, from our humanity, our darkness, and our death. I like what St. Augustine emphasized in his writings on Palm Sunday. He said this, quote, "For Christ was not the king of Israel so that he might exact a tax or equip an army with weaponry and visibly vanquish an enemy. He was the king in that he rules minds, in that he gives counsel for eternity, in that he leads into the kingdom of heaven for those who believe, hope, and love." So for us, Palm Sunday is a unique experience, and that's the reason for my message today called The Details of Palm Sunday, because the plans that we have in this passage of Scripture is a very deep, intricate design of events where every single detail of God's plan plays out perfectly, piece by piece, step by step, event by event, all at the right time, during the festival of Passover. So the sequence of events begin. And the key to this is understanding this begins even before Jesus enters Jerusalem. If you're aware of the story there, he goes to Bethphage. He's hanging out for 2 or 3 days. Some scholars believe he's at the house of God, of course, where he always goes, Mary and Martha, the home of Lazarus. They're holding out for a few days. They're getting their plans together. They're getting everything and all the details, preparations in place. So the time's finally there. They need to make their move. Jesus sends out 2 disciples to get the donkey and the foal for him to ride into Jerusalem. So look at verses 2 and 3. I love this little clue. Jesus gives them instructions on how to get the donkeys, but he adds a further command. He said, if anybody asks, tell them the Lord has need of them. Here's a unique clue. The word Lord, the Greek word used here is kurios. It's a term that's used in biblical times for property owners or someone who would be considered a master. Also, if you go back into the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, this word for Lord is one of the primary names they used for God in the Old Testament. So that's our clue. So by saying the Lord needs this animal, what they're actually saying is if anybody objects, the true owner, God himself, needs that animal. So here we see, we're just getting going, that this is truly God's plan all along. Step one, the next piece of this detail is to stop and think and ask, okay, why a donkey? If you're a king and if you are the Messiah, wouldn't you prefer a white stallion, a very high class, high, very expensive chariot? You want this to look very powerful. Well, no, he chose a donkey. Why? Well, history tells us, really, that's nothing new. Riding a donkey for ceremonial entry into a city was normal for biblical times. It was an act of kingship. Here's one of our clues. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 33 to 44. 1 Kings 1, 33 to 44. This is King David and Solomon. It's a very unique story if you want to go back and read that later. We're reading of King David. You know his son, Solomon. Well, David wants to anoint Solomon as the next king of Israel. Here's our clue. It says, and the king, which is David, of course, said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, here it is, have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. So riding donkeys was very important to signify kingship. So the donkey not only signifies kingship, but it's a symbol of peace. Therefore, if a man rides on a donkey, that symbolizes that he is coming in peace. He's not looking for war. Also, look at this historically from the Roman side of things. Roman interpretation of seeing a leader, a king, on a donkey means that he is not out to conquer, nor is he looking to rebel against Caesar. So very powerful message. And then for us as believers, I also love that symbol of peace as well. That's the symbolization that Jesus wanted to emphasize, that he is peace. That's the peace he wishes to give to you and to me. Many of you are familiar. John 14:27, don't we? John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give, it's a gift. The world cannot give it, so don't be troubled or afraid. So the donkey is symbolizing peace and that Jesus is king. All right, let's move on to the next detail of this plan. The palm branches and the clothing that people put out on the roadway. Let's get with those clothing. Let's do that first. Why would people take off their jackets, their coats, and parts of their clothing and throw it out into the roadway? Well, putting your clothing out into the road is kind of like the equivalent of our practice today. Now, we don't throw our clothes in the road, do we? We call it rolling out the red carpet. You see it as dignitaries when they visit foreign countries. Most of you are probably more familiar with the red carpet of the Oscars, of the Hollywood Movie Awards presentations. So throwing your coat and your jackets and your clothing out into the road was basically rolling out the red carpet for a dignitary, a leader, a king. And the action of putting your garments in the roadway was not only rolling out the red carpet or showing a sign of respect to your king, but I love the fact that they would throw it into the road. They wanted the king, or the donkey he was riding on, to step on their clothing. Why did they do that? Well, stepping on the clothing in biblical times was an act of submission to his authority. So not only are they hailing him as king, but throwing their clothing into the roadway to show them their submission. So they're proclaiming Jesus as king and showing signs they submit to his kingship. So that's the clothing. The next piece of detail to Palm Sunday is the palm branches. Palm branches to the Jewish people symbolized Jewish nationalism, Jewish victory. Put that into modern day context. Palm branches were to the Jews of that day what the stars and stripes, what the beautiful colors of red, white, and blue of our nation's flag symbolizes for us today. So just like you would wave the flag with absolute passion on the 4th of July, think of that visualization. Waving the flag on the 4th of July, put that into context of them waving the palm branches on this Palm Sunday. So the palm branches, they wave and shout Hosanna. And if you're familiar with that term, Hosanna means save now. That's important. There's another detail clue of Palm Sunday. Yes, they wanted Jesus to save them. But the key here is they just had a different understanding of such salvation. The people were thinking that Jesus was their political leader. Oh yeah, he was going to save them, but save them from Rome instead of a spiritual savior who could save them from their sins. So it's very unique that they would wave the flag and say, save us now. But they wanted Rome instead of their sins. So we have the clothing, the donkey, the palm branches. Last but not least is what the people are saying. And also we have a few people asking some questions about Jesus. So the crowd is chanting very loudly, Hosanna. But if you look later in verses 10, 11, we see they're adding something. Not only Hosanna, but they're adding this time to the Son of David. Now, we've already established Hosanna means save now. That's profound at this point. The shout of Hosanna is profound because you don't just say Hosanna to anybody. Hosanna is only directed towards royalty, to kings, to rulers. So by saying Hosanna, that is recognizing his kingship, but by also adding to the Son of David, what they're confessing is that Jesus is not just any ordinary king. He is their long-expected messianic king. Their shouts of joy, their shouts of praise, they're repeating Old Testament scripture. This was rather common for the Passover celebration, but today it's taking on additional meaning. It's coming from Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26. It said, Lord, save us. There's that Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. So by saying Hosanna, adding that with the words of Psalm 118, they're literally saying, God, save the king. Those go back to the words of David in that passage in 1 Kings that we wrote. All of this is tying in together. It's just fun to watch these details of Palm Sunday come together. So the festivities are leading up to the Passover celebration. This is an exciting time. Can you imagine Some of you have been to the state fair where it's just absolutely crazy crowded and just so much festivity and excitement going on. Well, multiply that by about 1,000. Jerusalem is just packed and the place is just crazy. It's festive. It is joyous. And there's just a lot going on here. In fact, so much. Here's another clue. The festivities leading up to the Passover celebration here is so intense. Did you catch it? Verse 10. It says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Key word there, stirred. The word for stirred here is where we get the word seismic. The massive celebration was so thunderous that it was vibrating the ground. They could feel the tremors throughout the place because it was just that intense. They could see, they could hear, and now feel the excitement of Jesus. What some were saying made others a little bit curious enough. So not only are those getting caught up and being festive, but now people are starting to take some notice that it's being focused on this man on the donkey. So they're asking some questions. As I was doing this study, there was a saying that was penned and it said this, emotion is no substitute for knowledge. So that tells us there were quite a few still amongst the crowd that didn't get it. They posed a question. Verse 10, very simple. Who is this? Well, the answer in verse 11 is again unique. They answered, Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Well, little did they know, they were still confirming the true identity of Jesus. And it may appear at first that they answered wrong in calling him a prophet rather than the Messiah. But do you realize, because of the detailed plans of Palm Sunday, they still got it right. They're fulfilling words from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 15 to 18. Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18, it says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From you must listen to him. And then here's Moses speaking. Moses says, the Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. So you see, some got it. Others of the great festivities leading up to Passover. And as we know, not only are those that are happy, some of those are confused, but don't forget there's still those roaming the outer perimeter, seething with absolute hatred for Jesus. And we're hoping for the first chance that they could get to have him arrested and killed. And if you know the rest of the story, by the end of this week, they would have succeeded. But regardless of the motives of celebration, of true identity, not knowing who this was, regardless of the motives, as I tie up this message and bring it to a close, the bottom line is this. It's the question in verse 10. Who is this? It's the same question Jesus himself even asked. Go back to Matthew 16, verse 15. Jesus asked his disciples, but who do you say I am? We'll just leave it right there. How do you answer? On this Palm Sunday, the question remains, who is that man upon the donkey? Who is that man to you? Well, this man is Jesus the Christ. So what that means is Jesus is the foreordained one, bearing the office and achieving the work described in prophecy. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the hope of Israel and of all humanity. This for us is the first Christian conviction and proclamation. So Jesus is both Lord and Christ. So who is this man? He is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ is, of course, the Son of God. He was declared the Son. Psalm 22, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. So not only has Jesus been declared, but understood as the Son. John chapter 6, verse 69, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus is not only declared and understood, but now witnessed as the Son. Matthew 3, 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus is declared, understood, witnessed, and now preached as the Son. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So, who is this man who has been declared, understood, witnessed, and preached as the Son of God? He is Jesus the Christ. But one eventful day in the year of 33 AD that we now call Palm Sunday is still calling for us to stop and ask ourselves again, reevaluate your heart. Who is this one called Jesus? Who is he really to you and to me? Because I think it still causes us to pause and think about all these detailed plans of what was God doing in and through Jesus, his Son, in revealing him as King and Messiah. I think God was calling each and every generation, then, now, and yet to be, make a decision. Are you or are you not going to accept Jesus, my Son, as your Savior and as the Messiah? Now remember, most of the people are they're focused on getting Passover and celebration, kind of like a Mardi Gras kind of celebration, just a lot of activity going on. So they kind of missed the whole point. They were too busy waiting for their military leader to knock the weight of the Roman rule off their shoulders. So a lot weren't getting it. But that's why we celebrate Palm Sunday, because we get it. And we not only get it and understand it, but we accept it as true. Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, King, Messiah. And we know that Jesus Christ is truly the sacrificial lamb that took away the sins of the world. And we rejoice, so we shout still today, Hosanna, a term reserved only for royalty, for kings. So we have every right to shout Hosanna because he has saved us. He saves us now, always, spiritually, from the debts of our sins. So behold and rejoice greatly, people of God. Shout with joy, for your King has come. He is the righteous one, the victor, yet he is lowly, riding on a donkey's colt. So who is this man? He is Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, Son of Almighty God. And just think of that. Today, you listening and watching, you can get it. Now you can understand it. All those detailed plans of Palm Sunday. And not only get it and understand it, but you can accept it. And you can cry out, Hosanna, Jesus, save me. You can accept Christ and have Hosanna, Jesus, save you right now. Because just remember the words of Romans 10:13. We can encourage ourselves with those words. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today's Palm Sunday can be your day of salvation. Jesus has made all the plans. He executed those plans perfectly, step by step, piece by piece, fulfilled them perfectly because he loves you that much. He was concerned about you that much. Will you shout Hosanna, Jesus, save me. Save me now. We confess our sins, that our sinfulness has broken that relationship. We recognize that Jesus paid the price to restore that relationship. And therefore we ask, Jesus, forgive me and save me now. We hope that that is your prayer today. There is no magic words. There's no special prayer to pray other than to confess your sins and to ask God to forgive you and for Jesus to save you. Let someone know if you've prayed that prayer of Hosanna. We pray all those watching have accepted Christ. But if not, ask someone, call us, text us. We'll walk you through this detailed plan of Palm Sunday that leads to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Hosanna to the Son of David. So as we end our time today, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always until we meet again. God bless you and happy Palm Sunday.